so terribly wrong. Apparently, they felt that if it is not very well possible to the new shield simultaneously, that it will impact the ability for the gas Titans to work. And Ricky said that he was not going to have a single shield.
Out. Once again, I'm Bill. Thank you.
up to here. Thank you.
Apparently, off
very, very sensitive to near-field interaction, whereas most antennas can kind of deal with the occasional near-field conductive material. These really suffer a great deal, including the dual crazy idea, Ed. Thank you. They thought it was sufficient. You know, military grain pays top dollar. That's the most people don't want to pay top dollar. I'm sort of surprised they were all buying LMR 400. It's too expensive. Well, yeah, that's true, too. Yes, yep.
I use double and triple braided stuff when I'm doing very low signal measurements in a high RF environment, and I'm sure you do as well.
Okay, well, we're going to kind of retire this for the night, and hopefully kind of come back and deal with this again as our members learn more and more about the mysterious gap Titan antenna and why the heck it works the way it does. So anyway, we just want to thank everyone who participated tonight and want to apologize to Paul for taking up so much time. But let's turn it over to Paul for the SpaceNet report.
Thanks, Roy. ATCGFWS, the last bit of SpaceNet report. And it kind of sounds interesting anyway. Good way to get rid of a bunch of dipoles all over. I have them as well, so we'll see. It sounds like there's two antennas involved stuff. Like Andy's putting one up and Rich. Anyway, it sounds like a good story to follow as it goes on. As far as what's new in the space world, last Friday morning, they had a launch from European Space Agency, a launch from French Guiana, the Kourou launch facility. They launched an Ariane 5 rocket, and on top of it was a spacecraft called JUICE. JUICE stands for Jupiter Icy Moons Explorer. The European Space Agency's first mission to Jupiter. We've done it before, specifically for Jupiter. We've done Galileo, and right now there's Juno going still in a polar orbit around Jupiter. But this one, they got 40 out off the ground. It's supposed to go up Thursday, but it had rain. Lightning in the area, so they went up the next morning. It's got very large solar panels. The capability of solar panels has increased over the decades, so they don't need an RTG radioisotope thermoelectric generator for power. They'd rather just have large solar panels. And right after launch, there was a slight delay after the launch. They were a little worried. They didn't get a signal until it got over Australia. Then they picked up the signal and figured out the spacecraft was going to Russia. But when they did, they found out that the solar panels have been over. They have 85 square feet, which normally translated to a lot of power around Earth. By the time you get to Jupiter, all that land found there that you don't get 850 watts of operation going through Earth. Also, that works out. It's going to take a long time to get there. And when they do that, they pass the Earth and the moon to get gravity assist. But we'll take 8 years, so they'll actually go into orbit around Jupiter at that time. And then they'll be passing some of the moons. The main moon, they're going to be concentrating on the Ganymede. So they'll do investigations of everything there. In the long run, they plan on passing the Ganymede the most out of all their orbits. And then, maybe 20, 34 before they actually go into orbit around Ganymede. That won't be the first time that anybody has put a spacecraft into orbit around any other moon besides the moon we call moon. We're around 2034, we'll be able to start to see the scientific results coming back from Houston. So, and send them an instrument on board. Japan has a private company. They've been working on this thing for decades, and it's called the Hakuto M1 for Mission 1, because they plan on eventually having a Mission 2, 3, and 4 all the way down the line. So the name of the company is called iSpace, and they launched a few months ago on a Falcon rocket. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, is beginning of the window. I have my fingers crossed because first launch is, they're very problematic. There's a lot of delays, a lot of scrubs, a lot of mishaps on most first flights. What he's trying to do here with this Starship is launch it from Boca Chica, Texas. He's going to go over the Gulf of Mexico. The first stage will drop off. First stage is consisting of 33 Raptor engines. Each Raptor engine is roughly, 50,000 pounds of thrust. So collectively, they're looking at like 17,000 pounds of thrust ship to get off the launch pad. Compare that to the 8,800 pounds of thrust that NASA just did with the space launch system to put Orion into space around the moon and back. That is, with the Artemis 1 project, this is going to be substantially more of a bang. With liquid methane and liquid oxygen, roughly twice the power. Sat 5, when we launched to the moon, it was 7.5 million pounds of thrust. And this is going to be 17 million pounds of thrust. So we'll see how they do. It should separate the first stage, they call it the super heavy, separate. And NASA is going to try to do a boost back. The full thrust is nitrogen thrust to give it 180 degrees turn and start to go back toward Texas, and this would never keep going, but it's not.
Environmental group is trying to get an injunction to stop them. I guess that's one reason why he's trying to go Monday before the folks can get it to court.
Really? I haven't heard that. I don't know what. Is some kind of a bird or something? Or what are you worried about? Maybe killing off a couple of alligators? Some kind of problem that they're worried about with the animals?
Apparently, the land, as I understand the story, the land that Starbase is on is either part of preserve, and it's a turtle breeding ground or something like that. I think the FAAD and the EPA and Interior Department, the agency gave them something like 75 mitigation points. I'm not sure if it's legal term of points to address. The group is apparently claiming it. It would not surprise me if they're right, unfortunately, that SpaceX has not really addressed the environmental concerns adequately, because, you know, of course, Musk feels he's exempt from government rules, so it wouldn't surprise me if he's trying to push it a little. WB2BX.
WB2BX. Oh, very good. WS2N. I haven't heard that. We'll see. All right. Sounds like that would be a real problem. Wow. You know. I guess they're speaking up a little too late. Or Elon Musk is jumping the gun. Either one of the two or both. We'll see what happens. I'd like to see this thing get off the ground. You know, if he's successful, then they could, you know, they could do anything. They could keep their turtles. They don't need to launch anymore. Elon Musk is the type of guy to abandon ship and just start building everything in Florida, where, you know, there's already an okay for super heavy launches like the space launch system. Wow. I can see that happening. He abandoned, I think we talked about this, he abandoned the idea of exploding oil barges that he bought. He was going to float them out into the ocean. And that's pretty much, well, those two are definitely being scrapped, but that idea has been put on hold for quite a while. Wow. Okay. Before it gets any later, I just want to talk about Ingenuity on Mars. Ingenuity is a helicopter that landed back in February of 2021, so a little over 2 years ago, landed on Mars with the Perseverance rover. They were hoping to get, you know, a couple of flights out of it. They figured, well, most we're going to get is 5 flights out of Ingenuity. Just a couple days ago, it took its 50th flight, so now it's gone 10 times what they expected. So the people that designed this thing have really took off. Took off literally, and the engineers are now developing 2 more helicopters that possibly could go to Mars in a couple of years. Naturally, they're going to be here.
That time complete.
They could also use helicopters years from now if they eventually have humans on Mars. They can use helicopters to transport stuff. They'll have these bigger ones by that time. There's already one that's in development that's going to have 8 blades on it, and that's called Dragonfly. That one's not going to go to Mars. It's going to go to Titan, the moon around Saturn, and that thing's under development. That thing's funded, and eventually the plan is to send this thing to Titan. When it gets down near the surface, you know, after multi-year, 10-year flight to Saturn, when it does get to Titan, it will be able to fly from different locations to different locations and do its own, you know, to do its scientific experiments that way, instead of a rover. It will be able to, you know,
cover countless miles on that moon. So, very good design by the engineers and the technicians that put ingenuity together. Still going strong after two solid years. And so is Perseverance. I think it's doing great. And then its counterpart, the Curiosity rover, that one landed in 2012. I think just got a major software update. They're able to do that. They wanted to change everything. They changed the time, the speed, the way this thing goes from place to place. The ISRO 5 study, we're able to upgrade its whole system. So it took them about a week or so to transmit the software changes up to Curiosity. But now that thing is going to be able to move around on Mars, similar to what Perseverance does. Alright, it's 11 o'clock. One other thing, the Relativity company that built the Taran 1 rocket that took off, three weeks ago. Instead of that Taran took off from Florida, almost made it to orbit, second stage, failed on them. First day went beautifully. Instead of building more Taran 1, they're scrapping that whole idea, and they're going to move on to Taran R, they call it. That's reusable rocket, all 3D printed. And when it's built, it'll be pretty big. It will compete against the Falcon 9 with SpaceX. If that thing comes around, but you won't see that thing launch probably until, I guess, the earliest 2025, the end of 2025. A lot of things going on, and we'll try to keep up with it as the weeks and months and years go by. Any comments? If not, we're going to turn it back to Roy. All right, thank everybody that listened and participated in this part of the net, and we'll be back tomorrow night with the club InfoNet, which is at 8:30 on these repeaters. Great net. Even if you're not a member, you can check in, and more than happy to take those check-ins as well. Followed by the Swap and Shop, and then that's always followed by Newsline. Newsline I like. There's always a space topic on Newsline. I noticed that. Anyway, back to you, Roy. ATCGS, WS2N for the SpaceNet Report for the Technic.
AP2GS, thank you, Paul. Thank you for the SpaceNet Report. Thank you for all that you do for the technical net. Thank you for all that you do for the club. You all appreciate it, and I certainly appreciate you a great deal. And I appreciate everyone who participated tonight. And we even had our president, Richie, K2KNB. I thank him for coming on and telling us about his discovery with the Titan Gap, and I hope we learn more about that in the weeks to come. So thanks to everyone who came by. I hope you learned a few things. I hope you were entertained a bit, and I hope you'll come back and join us in future Sundays when we'll do it all over again at 8 p.m. As always, I'd like to remind you, Dick would end his technical match with the advice to be kind to each other. That's always good advice. And I usually add a little bit of a Latin philosopher, Epictetus, who wrote, it's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. So try and keep your mind open to new things. Try and learn something new every day. It's one of the many ways to keep your brain young. So, in the words of Shakespeare, our rebels now are done. This is AC2GS formally closing this episode of the Limark Technical Net, and I am clear.
And Roy, WS2N, one question about email.
Sure. You're probably going to ask why it bounced. It bounced because I didn't clean up my email server and it ran out of space.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I I said that this morning, and it came back right away. So then I sent it later, and I noticed it went. So I figured you did that, but I didn't know if it was, you know, if it was actually that you had to do that, or, you know, the glitch.
Very good.
I don't know how much space you get on these things. I'm always trying to delete my email. I guess if you load it up with all the stuff that you got, you're gonna eat up your space real quick.
Yeah, it's very easy to fall behind it, and I usually am happy if I can keep it at only 95% full. But it snuck up on me in the middle of the night and went to 100. The problem is occasionally people will send me attachments, and that fills up even more space on the mail server. So I have to be particularly protective of my empty space and more aggressive with my deletion. I have all kinds of interesting email on that server that goes back many years. I have the first email that I got from Dick still sitting on my server.
Yeah, that's great. I have some of them as well. That's great. Okay. There's no way that the users on your